What's up, guys? I'm going to be just thinking out loud tonight. I'm not trying to push any major point home or expand on any philosophies that I might have. I was recently asked to tell someone what it is that I do. Well, I'm doing this keynote speaking thing, and I guess they're trying to write like a bio. And so I had like a little interview, and in the little interview question, it said, "What do you do?" And so I had to really try to put that together, you know, like, what is it that I would say that I do? I feel like I do so much. And the reason why I like the title Life Coach is because, well, life is crazy. So a lot of things fall under, you know, the umbrella of life. So I'm thinking, and I just said, well, take a step back, bro. Why do you do what it is that you do? And that's a lot easier for me to put into words. And I think when I put that into words, the words that I put together really just paint a picture of my intentions and my purpose behind it. And it's just automatically granted as good, and people could benefit from that because we all need a little bit more of that. And boom, you know, I think it just makes sense that way. So I never really have to, you know, in a job description sense, what do you do? And so started thinking, man. I remember when I was originally training, people asked me, what I'm gonna, you know, what is it that I do? Well, I just love seeing people get in shape, right? That's what I would say. But I went to school for perception psych, you know what I mean? And so human development, the body from the cellular form all the way through death, you know? And so, okay, we study that. And then what are we talking about? The psychology thing, where first it was child development, okay? I did like 2 years of that. And that got really repetitive. And the route that I was going to take with that degree really didn't seem like it was going to be financially making sense, because I didn't really want to go to school for like 6 to 8 years to be a guidance counselor. I figured that's something I would do like towards the end of my life, you know what I mean? My biggest thing is I thought it was wrong for us to be writing prescription to kids for mental disorders and stuff that they can't ethically, you can't test a drug on the kid. But you can ethically write them a prescription for the drug. So whatever happens to the kid in the meanwhile, like you can say, well, it was wrong for us to test it on them, but we can give it to them. So I thought that was like super corrupt. And that's what I based my whole major off. Like, I'm going to study child psychology so that I can make an impact on this. Okay, realize it's going to take me like 16 years to make that impact. Still want to make that impact, but going a different route. So then I started studying human development. And, you know, it was really interesting. Learned a lot, learned a whole lot, but that really didn't curve my appetite, and so I started to study perception psychology, and that was everything. That was basically how I survived my, you know, certain instances in my childhood, certain things from my upbringing, certain events in life. We all have them, you know, everybody can tell you about the upbringing, but because the upbringing wasn't yours, you automatically, you know, feel a certain type of way about it. But I think if everybody really thought about their upbringing and didn't try to block out the stuff that, you know, really might have taught them some significant lessons in their upbringing, then I think everybody has some, you know what, I can't say everybody's, but a lot of people have upbringings that they had to respond to. And based on how they responded to it, you know, it damages some people for life, and some people grow from it immediately, and some people have to grow through it because, you know, it would crush them otherwise. So I said, how I've been able to perceive things has always been beneficial to me. I think if I could be a perception coach, that would be great. And imagine working with like a bunch of college kids. Like, you graduate and you're so gung-ho about this, you kind of start practicing in college with everybody that you train then. And so, okay, this is where I'm going to make a name for myself. I'm going to start training in college. And I had a lot of clients in college. I had 13 clients in rotation at one time in college. It was hard for me to logically, you know, when I'm already making money, convince myself I need to go to class. But I still had to, because I loved my majors, my major classes anyway. And so I went to those. It's funny because I had to call myself a trainer to really be able to get people to let their guards down. And there's no better way to get people to just kind of relax and center their chi than to exercise them. There's no better way, there's no more effective way to get someone to center their energy than to exhaust them and leave them with the total sum of that chi, that inside energy. We have so much built up energy that we don't use, and it all gets generated towards our thoughts, and then our brain can't ever sleep because it's thinking a million thoughts all day. Different triggers, generating different emotions, you know, somehow you have notifications on your phone that you can't turn off that always seem to be about the worst stuff going on in life. And then they tell us that the life expectancy of Americans have gone down by almost 10 years over the last couple of years, and writing prescriptions for everything from a sore nose socket to a sprained earlobe. You know, we're writing prescriptions for everything. Everything is a problem now. Everything has to be labeled now. Everything has a drug associated with it. Everybody has a condition. Everybody's broken. And nothing wrong with nobody, except for that they've forgotten you. Ain't nothing wrong with nobody. Ain't nothing wrong with nobody. I dated a girl when I was in college that told me that she was taking bipolar medicine. I just looked at her like she was crazy and told her she didn't need that. I think I said, you don't need that shit. She was like, what? I got a condition. I'm bipolar. I was like, okay. She was crazy enough to like trust me and to not take it for like 2 weeks just to see what happened. Over that 2 week course, she was convinced that she didn't have bipolar and that she was in love with me. So that's kind of the problem. You try to life coach people, and when you're good at it, they fall in love with you. Or, you know, I don't know. It's like they love you so much, paying you seems weird. It's like, hey, this is what I do for a living. I love you too, but pay me to do this, please. This is what I love to do. Anyway. I thought of all of this when I was watching this continuing education video. This doctor, whose name I need to know because this video was awesome, he was talking about how perception forms our DNA. That our perception shapes even our DNA. Napoleon Hill, Think, Grow Rich. Nope, that's not the title of the video that I'm watching. That's an advertisement. Bruce Lipton, Biology of Belief, full lecture. Bruce Lipton, if you get a chance, check him out. This dude is really onto something, and he's a molecular physicist, so he knows his stuff. This guy studies molecules, okay? So think about that. You go to work every day, and you watch a cell and see how it responds and what you'll learn from that. And so he kind of stopped his practice, and he's got this choker on, and he's got this like hippie vibe telling you that this is really how the body works. This is really what the body does. This is a test that we've done on mice. This one we gave a crooked tail, the same gene mutation that they use to create spina bifida or scoliosis. He's telling that in the same drug that they give these mice that make their tails have spina bifida, they do this testing on them, and the perception of the mice, okay, and then the mice have offspring, and the offspring don't have the genetically mutated genes. So they're saying that you're not a victim of your genetics, you're in control of your genetics, and it goes to even the placebo test, okay? In the placebo test, 1/3 of people are cured in placebo test, and they won't publish the true validity of the placebo effect, because then it might let you know that there's really something in your energy that has the ability to heal you, to keep you healthy, to like, and people put so much hope and faith into the words of the doctors, so they're at the mercies of the doctors. It's a very dangerous game, but when you're at the mercy of the doctor, he writes you a prescription. Think about it. You're at the mercy of the doctor. He makes money. Being a doctor is a lot cooler when you have a lot more money from it. And if you're incentivized to write a prescription for something and you'll have more money, you're probably gonna do that. Think about that. The real drug dealers, like, everybody comes in here, tell them that this cocaine will fix them. I got this cocaine plant that I really need to monetize a little bit better. So, boom. Everybody's on opioids. ODing is cool again. I mean, it's crazy. But how do you change that? How do you impact that? How do you stop that? How do you, and it's not about, like, literally, like, about drugs, but it's about, like, low self-esteem, low confidence, poor body images, self-sabotaging behaviors, we'll just call them that, self-doubt, worthlessness, self-hate, anxiety, worrying too much. We have an anxiety problem in this country. You don't worry anymore. You have anxiety. A condition that you have to take a drug for because you're not normal because you worry so much. And there's a certain amount that a person can worry before they have what we would classify within the spectrum, what we would classify as a condition. And because you worry between 600 thoughts a day to 800 thoughts a day, we're going to say that you have moderate to severe anxiety. And you need to take this much of this drug that just neutralizes you so you can't have anything. It just numbs you, never helps you. Anxiety doesn't go away. As a matter of fact, whenever you come down off the drug, the anxiety goes up higher because the medication's making you not you, and it's also eating away your brain. So when they study the brain of most of the people that do the school shootings, we find out that they're the ones that have been on the medications, and their brains are so damaged from the drugs, they go out and they do what they do, and that's kill a bunch of students to make a scene because no one's listening to them or noticing them or helping them, and they're getting worse. No rational reason why a person go picks up a gun and we just say this person's just crazy. Look at their history. Look how they've been, look at how they have been treated. Check their mental health. If you don't have the urge to kill 16 people, and most people, like 99.989% of people don't have this urge to go and shoot up a bunch of people, we have to say, what is the reason that the people that do have the urge have the urge? Look at their mental health. Don't talk about guns, bro. Look at their mental health. Make it harder to get the guns, but don't fix the mental health problem. So then they'll what? Start stabbing a million kids or go to school and try to stab everybody? Go to school, try to fight everybody? If they don't have any weapons, just use their bare hands? Like, all of this is what went into me trying to figure out what it is I want to be at a young age. I was like personal training people when I was in sixth grade. Like, my family, anybody want to lose a little weight? I got some exercise that we can do. Oh, this stuff works. Well, let me figure out how to make you eat better. Okay, cool. I'm your trainer now. Been studying diets, been working you out. You're in better shape. That's what a trainer does. That's what I am. Started doing that in, like, sixth grade. The playground was always cool to me. Like, always cool. I never lost this coolness because where I grew up, there were some kids that were, like, super sick on the playground. Like, man, you talking about doing some math problems right? This dude just did 16 backflips in a row and he taught himself this shit. I couldn't flip. I could do something cool. I was always an athlete, so, you know, we played football. I could score some touchdowns. I'll race you, probably beat you. If I don't, we got to do it again. You know, I'm gonna do the test to figure out what's going on with the terrain. It's messing me up from beating you. Then I'm gonna beat you. But I always loved competition, man. I always loved playing. I remember in sixth grade, I had got some money to do my own back to school shopping because I was grown then in sixth grade, and it was a gift card to Rue 21. I went in there and I found this shirt that said "Picked First in Gym Class." So I put the shirt on. I said, "This is epic. I cannot wait to wear this." And I got PE tomorrow, so I put the shirt on, go to school, happy. Got the shirt on, and this big girl, her last name was Miller, and I cannot remember her first name, but I remember everybody that called her this girl, freckled big girl. She stayed at this trailer park not too far from where we got picked up at, so I lived in a very diverse area. Anyway, So they pick her up. No, they don't pick her up. Anyway, she's pissed and she tells me that I was cocky, that I was arrogant, that I was, she was lighting into me, like, because I had this shirt on. And I'm like, I think there's nothing cooler than being picked first in gym class. Like, that's just how I think. And I'm a trainer today, so I was gonna go to school to be a PE teacher. Like, think about this. But this person decided to tell me that I was cocky, I was arrogant, I was an asshole, I was self-centered, I was, everything that made me, I was a narcissist because the shirt made me, I was a narcissist because the shirt was a shirt that I loved and I thought was perfect. So, wow, do I care about myself too much? I'm going to start caring about myself less because I'm caring about myself that's just too much. I bought a shirt that says, I'm picked first in gym class and I was excited to wear it. How dare me? But it was really because somebody else felt so bad about themselves that they had to try to make me feel bad about myself. Because you're not picked first in gym class because you don't take care of yourself and because you don't make healthy decisions and try to work out. I was doing like 150 push-ups a day when I was young. My dad was in the military. Like, he wasn't no buster in the military. So I was trying to fill his shoes. Like, all right, you out here being an assassin? I'm going to be Assassin Junior. So, you know, I had swords and stuff by the age of 9, 10. Like, my dad trusted me with that. Anyway, this is obviously, you know, what I'm trying to say is this was just my natural calling. And this is just what I've decided to do with it. I could have been a pastor. Could have been a doctor. Could have been a psychologist or guidance counselor or school teacher or real estate agent or architect. Could have been a lot of things, but could have been a lawyer. Mr. Blair did his best. My eighth grade teacher did his best to make me go to law school. My mom told me my whole life growing up, every teacher that I've ever had told me my whole life, you need to be a prosecutor because it's a wrap. I got out of a lot of trouble because of my ability to argue my way out of a lot of things. But I chose to be a life coach, man, and I love it. Love it. I challenge everybody to just think about what you do every day and then ask yourself why you do it. And if your reason is like, I got a family, I see them eat it and I feel better about, you know, but that's your why. So you might not have to be an entrepreneur. That's your why, bro. And in some ways I could say that why is better than my why. Because it's in the service of others, like that you live with. And family's everything. So it's all about your perception, but ask yourself why you do what you do. If you know what you do, just ask yourself, why do I do this? If you don't know how to define what it is you do, describe what it is you do, be detailed about what it is you do, remind yourself of why you do what you do, and I promise you everything else will make sense. And if you hate the answer that you find you something else to do. Stop complicating your life. Stop being depressed. Stop hating what it is. Stop doing what you do. Stop hating your life. Stop hating your life first. Okay? Stop and just think about, what are the things making me hate my life? Okay? Ask yourself, what are you trying to change? Okay? And if you're not trying to change it, then you got to come to the realization that you're choosing it because you know what it is you don't like and you're not doing anything about it. So, boom, you've accepted this. So now that you're frustrated again, feeling like you have one of those conditions we talked about earlier, before we label ourselves as dealing with anxiety or depression or just general unhappiness in life and self-worthlessness, and ask yourself, what is it that you don't like about your life? What are you doing to change it? Cool. You need help figuring out what you need to do to change it or some things you can do to change it. Please give me a call. Please reach out at Edward@LifeAcademy. That's going to be ACADAMY. Okay? ACADAMY. I can help you with that. Love y'all. Peace, man.